You find it, everybody? Matthew chapter 10. Working our way through the book of Matthew. Hello, everybody watching online. Hi, Javier. Glad you're joining us. We're ready for you to be here whenever you're ready to be here. Some of us have COVID still. Some of us today have COVID, so they're home watching. So we're working our way through Matthew. We go through the Bible, just line by line, verse by verse, try to let God speak, and we just want to hear. If you notice at the end of chapter 9, what we did last week, Jesus speaks a couple of really very significant truths to his disciples, and because we're his disciples, they're important for us to us too. Notice in 37, he says to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." In other words, there's a spiritual harvest waiting to occur in our community. In this town, there's a spirit. There are people who desire to hear God's truths. I hope you believe that. Because sometimes we're around people who appear hard. Deep down, God is softening them to hear his truth. So what Jesus says there is really important in 37. Really important. They are waiting to hear the truths about Jesus. They've been blinded by religion or blinded by whatever all it is. They're just waiting for someone to come and speak truth to them so that they can put their faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. But notice then 38 I read, or maybe it's the end of 37, but there's the need for people to be willing to go share the love of Christ. Now, this isn't necessarily just talking about street evangelists. It includes that. It's just talking about to somebody at lunch tomorrow. You're at the lunchroom, and you're eating your bologna sandwich, and somebody comes up and sits down, and you just love the snot out of them in the name of Jesus. Oh, boy, I've already started. So my septic gets drained on, because we live out, you know, we got a septic system. So the septic gets drained. A guy comes out, and he's young, middle 20s, and I always love being around young people. And so I just chat. And I think I was driving him crazy at some point. So at the end, you know, he's putting everything away, and I had a little bit of money to give him as a tip. I said, hey, if I give you some money as a tip, will that go right to you, or will you have to share that with anybody? He goes, no, it comes right to me. And so I just simply said, listen, in the name of Jesus, I want you to have this. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Don't make it more than what it is. I mean, if you're a street evangelist, then go be a street evangelist. But it's just loving your neighbor well. It's loving your septic person well. Turns out, he's a brother of Steve Enix, who worked with Dave Starrett. It was weird, the connection. So he goes and sits in his truck. He comes back out, and he says, what's your name? And I told him. He says, my brother's come to your church. He says, I need to get back to church. I looked for him today because wouldn't have said this if he was here. You know, just a simple thing in the name of Jesus was enough to open up. Isn't it glorious? It's glorious. God's doing the work on both ends. He's working on their heart, and he's working on your heart. We'll get into a little bit of that as we get through. So Jesus then says, hey, pray. Just pray. And Jesus knows that when we pray with a true heart, many times we'll find ourselves to be the answer to our own prayer. And we see that in chapter 10. So let's read. We're going up to 15. My goal, let's just read 15 verses, okay? So it's verse 1, Matthew chapter 10. When he called his 12 disciples to him, of course speaking to Jesus, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. First Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother James, and the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Verse 3, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent out, commanded them, saying, do not go in the way of the Gentiles. Don't enter a city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, hang on, I lost my spot. As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven's at hand. Heal the sick. cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staves, for a worker is worthy of his food. Now whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it'll be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Lord, thanks for this text. What a great, great text. Thanks for your words to us, written down for us to grow and learn and study. And we invite your Holy Spirit to be our teacher this morning, Lord. We want to hear. Soften our hearts. Break up the fallow ground in our hearts, Lord. And plant your word deep inside of us, Lord. We come to church today because we want to be more like you, Lord. Accomplish that work in us, we ask. We do thank you for Wendell and his family, Lord. Continue to bring healing to his body. Lord, we pray that cough would go away so that it wouldn't hurt his lung or his chest and all that, Lord. Thanks for Dave and Lauren and the family that they have and the new baby, Lord. Bless them today. Draw us close to you, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus, as we read through all that, he commissions his apostles, go throughout the land of Israel, tell the world about the Messiah. And these guys, they had walked with Jesus and they had seen him minister, but now it's their time to go out and do ministry on their own. But Jesus here is calling them into a very specific ministry. Okay, we're going to see another passage down the road that he tells them, take clothes, take food, take a sword. So this is very specific, but we can learn some really important things as we work our way through here. And one of them is really good for us to hear. And here it is. God's calling are always his enablings. Did you hear it? God's callings are always his enablings. In other words, whatever God has called us to do will be coupled with the enabling to do it. Man, that's true. We got to believe that to be true. So here, Jesus calls these 12 guys to do something that's way beyond their physical, natural capacity. And maybe that resonates with you a little bit this morning, because you know that God has called you into his service, and all you can think about is how inadequate you are. Listen, you're in good company. Not just in this room you're in good company, but you're in good company throughout the Bible, throughout the Old Testament in particular. God calls people into his service, and the first thing they do is moan and complain. God, you got the wrong guy. I can't do that. And then the excuses come. I can't speak well, or I'm just a youth. The calling is everything in the Christian life. Whatever the Lord speaks, whenever he speaks to you related about Christian service, here's what I'd like for you to do to serve me in this world. He will always, that's the calling, he will then always add to your life whatever's necessary for you to fulfill it. There's a younger girl who comes here. She's middle 20s. She's got a couple kids now. They've not been coming because of COVID. But I remember when she was pregnant with her first kid, I'm pointing over here because they sit over here. I was asking, how are you doing? She goes, I don't think I'm going to be a very good mom. So we talked about that a little bit. And she was just expressing a little bit of fear and all that. And I said, listen. She goes, because I don't feel like I have that right now. And all I said to her, and I hope it blessed her, was just, listen, God will give you what you need when you need it. She's a great mom. She didn't need to be a great mom before. God will always give you what you need to fulfill his calling. That's why I said the calling is everything. You can have a great heart for an orphanage, but if God hasn't called you to be a part of the orphanage, you're not going to do well there. Why? It's not your calling. He's called someone else to do that. You got to find your calling and then trust that God is going to give you the enabling. Okay, one thing I wanted to point out in verse middle of verse 1, you see the word power there, at least my version, New King James. He gave them power over all those things. That word there in the Greek is exousia. It's a good word to study. It means the right or the privilege to exercise authority. So he's given these guys the right to exercise authority over the spiritual realm, over the physical realm, complete authority. And you see what he gave them authority to do there in the middle of one. To preach over unclean spirits, heal the sick. You see the list. And then we see the names of the 12 guys. Did you notice that they're listed in pairs? You see it's one and one, one and one. One and one, one and one. I think it's because Jesus was going to call them out in pairs, probably for encouragement, for support, for some form of accountability. The other thing I want you to see in verse 1, you see they're called the disciples, and when he had called his 12, you see they're called disciples there. Now look down into verse 2. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. Same 12 guys. Called disciples in verse 1, apostles in verse 2. Fascinating, isn't it? Disciple means learner, follower. Apostle means one who is sent or an ambassador. So the way I see it, and the reason he calls them disciples first, is every one of us, regardless of our calling, regardless of our area of service, we're always learners. No matter what our calling is on our life, we're to first and foremost be disciples of Jesus, learners of Jesus, always growing in our relationship with the Lord. Secondarily, then, comes our area of service. And in this case, for these guys, they're called to be apostles. Their calling is to be apostles. Disciple first, calling second. You know, it's so easy to get that backwards. So easy to get our calling out in front. We're always, especially pastors, man, we so get focused on helping the flock and feeding the sheep that we don't feed ourselves. Another ministry principle we see, we're not going to go through the guys' names and all that. You guys can study all that. But another ministry principle right here, as we look at the 12, by and large, God chooses ordinary people to accomplish his purposes in this world. Because these ordinary men, they're going to be successful in ministry. Why? Because they serve an extraordinary God who's called them. And the reason that's so important for us to realize that God calls ordinary people is, like I said before, because one of the first thoughts we get when God calls us is how utterly inadequate we are to fulfill that calling. But if we were adequate to do it, and then we did it, we'd get all the glory. We'd do something and want trophies or plaques or name tags or acknowledgement. After all, look at my natural talent. After all, look at all the diplomas on the wall. Of course I can do this. I got my master's degree. And then who gets the glory? We're taking it. But then the key is the word but. When God gets glory, it's because he uses ordinary people like us. That when we do something for God, everybody around them think there's no way that that person could do that. That's way beyond their ability. And then who gets the glory then? God does every time. Every time God does. So God chooses ordinary people. And then he manifests himself as extraordinary through them so that people would give the credit to him. Amen? Now, I got to share just for a second. One of the things I'm concerned about the American church today is this issue. Because more and more in our churches today, in Indianapolis, but the American church, is it style over substance. The star factor is huge in the body of Christ. The pastor has to be entertaining. You got to tell funny stories. You got to keep people involved. Can't go very long. We lose our attention about 1.3 minutes. And the worship team, oh man, you got to have some really, really cool things going on, or I can't hang in there with you. I mean, the worship leader's got to be really exuberant and got to have all this going. You got to have really some smoke would help. I mean, come on. I mean, but we giggle about it, but that happens in our town. And people won't go to the church unless they get that wow factor. That troubles me. It does. What about the person who's very ordinary, but you hear God when they speak? The Holy Spirit of God anoints him when he leads worship. He does. He anoints him when he leads worship. And he's an ordinary dude, thankfully. I mean, he's not out here. He won't even get up on the stage. They refuse to get on the stage. They want to be down because they don't want to be seen. There's a reason why I'm the only one up here. I would rather be back there, but you know, so we're ordinary people just wanting to be used by an extraordinary God. I think that one of the things that's being lost today is the discernment amongst God's people who know the difference between having an emotional experience and having a spiritual experience. Did you hear it? Because when we lose that discernment, then all these other things become what's required in order to gain the attention of God's people. Rather than realizing, man, that's just a simple guy, but I hear God when he speaks. There's something God anoints her when she shares that is just profound to me, but she's just a simple person. There's a lot of wonderful churches in our town. But this move I'm talking about now, it really concerns me. So, my point is, as we read this, by and large, God chooses ordinary people. Because he's an extraordinary God. And then he'll use them. All of us feel inadequate. And all of us try to talk God out of choosing us. Don't let your ordinariness talk you out of God's calling. It's okay. God knows what he got when he called you. He knows. He knows. And these guys, you know, again, I'm not going to go through them all. These guys, they're ordinary guys. None of them highly educated. None of them had any formal religious training. None of them prominent, wealthy. Four fishermen, one tax collector. We don't have much background on the other guys. Just common folk. Most of them are young. In the early 20s, John's in his teens. Peter was probably the oldest. And yet Jesus calls them and empowers them to accomplish his purposes. Isn't it glorious? So again, I'll trust you to go through all those guys. But it is an odd collection of leaders when you look at them. I mean, we know them. He picks them from all ends of the spectrum. If you notice there, I'll just point out one. Verse 3, he teams. Who does he team? Now, there's Matthew and there's Thomas. He teams these guys together. Matthew's a Roman collaborator. And then Simon the Canaanite in verse 4 is a Jewish patriot who wants to spill Roman blood. It's like putting a Black Panther and a KKK member together. It's odd. But look around this room. We're an odd collection of people too. Just simple folk from all ends of the spectrum. And yet Jesus wants to use us corporately together. Okay, here, let's move on. Verse 5 then. Jesus sends out and commands the 12 and says, don't go the way of the Gentiles. Don't enter a city of the Samaritans. Rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They're to preach specifically to the Jews. Earlier in the gospel accounts, he said that the gospel would be preached first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. Of course, in our hour of human history, we're to bring the gospel to anyone and everyone. And then verse 7, and as you go, so here's the commission, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and then it goes on from there. So as the Holy Spirit moves, and the sick are healed, and all these wonderful things are happening, people are going to wonder, how can this kind of thing happen? And they're to answer them by saying, listen, the kingdom of God is near. In other words, right over there is the Messiah. He's coming right in behind me. There's the one. That's their commission. Heal the sick, we see in 8. Cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. So yeah, God's going to use them to heal people. But the emphasis, if you notice it back at verse 7, is to be the preaching of the gospel. God then confirms his word and his message with accompanying signs and wonders. So in my opinion, as I look historically at the body of Christ, we get ourselves in trouble when we begin to seek after signs and wonders independent of the word of God. When that happens, we have those things backwards. So here Jesus tells these guys in verse 7, preach. Speak the word of God first. And after that, the signs and wonders will come. In essence, he's saying the message is the most important thing. What good is it for a leper to be cleansed? Or for a demon-possessed man? What 2020. Everything about 2020 is just kind of weird, isn't it? What good is it for a leper to be cleansed or for a demon-possessed man to be delivered if we don't preach the gospel so that they can have their sins forgiven? Yeah, their leg is healed, but it's temporary. If no one tells them how to get right with God, their eternity's in the balance. That's far more significant. So we got to be careful. We don't get those two things backwards. Praise the Lord for signs and wonders, really. But God always uses them to validate the preaching of the gospel message. Here's what Paul says in Romans, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first," and we see it here, "and the Gentiles." You see, the gospel is the power of God for salvation. The message is the way that lives are changed. Eternities are changed. Then God uses, oftentimes, signs and wonders to confirm the message. Okay? See? They will, for sure. For sure. That's right. Now, we see another important ministry principle at the end of 8. I purposely didn't read it when I was reading it before. Freely you have received, freely give. So when God uses someone to impact a person's life, that person then can tend to feel indebted to the one who shared with them. Remember the person who led you to Christ? I mean, you carry something really special toward them, or a couple people who helped you through a difficult time. There's something that you feel like, I feel indebted to you somehow. And at that point, that person is vulnerable. Because if you did something that blessed me, and I felt indebted to you, you could use that to put me under your thumb. Well, you know, a little trip to Florida would be nice. Yeah, you got Colts tickets. Okay, I'm in. You know, there's so many things we can use to manipulate the emotions of that person. That's why Jesus says it, I think, at the end of 8. Freely we've received. We don't give anything away spiritually that we haven't freely received from God first. So we don't use that in people's lives in order to manipulate them. Beware, Christian. That's an important few words there at the end of 8. Never use God's gifting or his calling upon our lives in a way to enrich ourselves. Now, I know that's a fine line. I don't know where the line is. You know, I used to do a thing with, it was called Youth Fest, a big old thing. I did the 3-on-3 basketball. I had big concerts, Newsboys, a bunch of people came in, big thing. And because I was on the inside, I saw how much money we paid those guys. It's like, really? We're going to pay those guys $100,000 to come in for and play for 40 minutes. Really? What happened to that verse? And if you're not careful, those kind of things can set in you a little cockeyed. But we know Jeremy Camp, a lot of us do, you know, and so he's helped me a little bit understand how the balance of those things are. I mean, Jeremy does concerts and he charges $5 to get in. Other concerts, he charges $25. So you just got to step back from, if you're me, step back from all that and say, Lord, you got to speak to them. You know, the uber talented musician or the uber talented preacher who sells how many books for how much money and they get mega rich. Ugh. What happened to freely give? So you just got to trust God. You're going to have to work that out. All I'm helping us to see, in our case, if God has gifted us spiritually, we want to really be careful about the end of verse 8. We have received. Okay, Lord, thank you for blessing me in this way. Now, I want to give spiritually. And I don't want to have people feel indebted to me, that they owe me something. Now, if you have Colts tickets, well, we'll talk about that later. Where are we? 9. Is that where we are? 9. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker's worthy of his food. And then 10. Yeah, we read 10. It's like he strips the disciples down so they're totally dependent upon God. Not, don't carry money. Don't carry food. Don't carry extra clothes. Like I said earlier, later on, Jesus is going to tell them, carry all those things. But in this commission, he tells them not to do that. Verse 11, now whatever city or town you enter, inquire who's in it worthy, and stay there until you go out. And when you go into that household, greet it. And if the household's worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. Jesus knows that when these apostles come into these towns and cities and they preach the gospel, perform all these miracles, people are going to be so blessed by them that they're going to get invited back to the house. And then when they're at the house, they're going to feed them. They're going to take care of them. They're going to really want to bless them. Jesus knows that. Oh, we want to be helpful to provide for you. We're thankful. So that's why here Jesus says, when you go into a home, godly people there, people with a good reputation, once you decide to stay there, you stay the whole time you're in that town. Don't go looking around for who has the hot tub. You know, you stay at the home that you first go into. Why? One, these guys would be totally dependent upon God. But two, which is, I think, really important, they're not to give the appearance that they're in it for the perks. We're here because you offer me a Pinto to drive. You offer me a Lexus. How many of us remember Pintos? Oh, look at all of us. Man, we're over 50. I played Ultimate with the youth yesterday. I pretty much just stood in the middle of the field and let them run back and forth. PJ said he was going to stand beside me, but he didn't. And, you know, and it's like, and at some point, you start to feel your age. Because they're just zipping around. It's like, I couldn't even grab them. You know, that's how bad it was. They just run by and it's like, anyway. But I know what a Pinto is. You know, it doesn't matter if you're in the most beautiful home, in the most beautiful city, in the whole world. If the Holy Spirit isn't there, you want to leave. And that's what he's saying. Make sure you go to a home where God is welcome there. Okay, 14, and we're done. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than that day. Jesus knew these guys were going to have some failures. He knew there were going to be some people who would reject their message. So when he says, when you see that, it's okay. Shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Just move on and go to the next village. See, their job as preachers wasn't to change people's minds. They were to, persuasively present the message. But if their audience didn't receive it, then they didn't receive it. That's not on them, the speaker. Then they're free to leave, free to move on, and the terminology here is shake the dust from your feet as you leave. And then Jesus goes on to say in 15, it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that town. That's pretty strong. They heard the gospel message and they rejected it. Sodom and Gomorrah never had that opportunity. They didn't hear the gospel message. The single greatest thing we can do against God and to hurt the heart of God is to reject His Son. It's the single most serious sin a person can commit. Because forgiveness and salvation is found in no other name, no other place. So when they leave the town and they shake the dust off their feet, they're communicating to those town folks the serious ramifications of their decision. Remember a couple weeks ago we were in Gadara? Remember the demoniac? And they told the people come out after Jesus did that miracle, and the people told him, don't come back here. We don't want you here. And you know what? Jesus never went back. It's a serious thing to reject Christ. Next week, we'll pick up then 16. We'll go further. There's a lot of good things. Read ahead. I know I say that most every week, but it's really important that we do. So the disciples then, as we read ahead, we're going to see, they go out. They did what Jesus called them to do. And that's our mission too, to go out and be the people that God's called us to be and do the things that God has called us to do. Keep loving people, keep ministering to people, keep preaching the gospel to people, because they're desperate to find peace and joy and hope. Now, I'm going to walk a little carefully here. Listen, that election is not going to cause people to find peace. Mr. Biden does not have the answers. Mr. Trump didn't either. We said it last week. So now people are getting all excited about, oh, now we're going to head into nirvana. Sorry, not happening. No man, no woman can lead this nation into peace and joy and hope without Christ. So if our hope is in Mr. Biden, we are going to be disappointed. Nothing against Mr. Biden, nothing at all. He just can't live up to that. And so we're going to go live amongst people who are going to be disappointed, whether it's because of the election or because of their job or because of the whatever it is. They are going to be disappointed, and they're going to feel hopeless, and here we are, and God has put you there for a reason. Your septic guy is going to back into your driveway, and you're going to have the opportunity to say, in the name of Jesus, whatever. Your neighbor, you're going to rake your yard, your leaves for, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, that's what we do. Now, will some reject what we offer them? Yeah, sure they will. And they'll want to reject it for a lot of reasons. Some because they look at us and think, well, I knew you when you were in high school. And dude, that ain't the person I knew. And some are going to reject it because it's like, well, there's no way a plumber can help me with salvation things. There's no way a bookkeeper. So some people are going to reject it for a lot of different reasons. It's okay to fail in ministry. It is. It's not failing. Just because that person says, I'm not interested, we've done what we've been called to do. Love them. Encourage them. Tell them Jesus is the hope of the world. And if they say, I'm not interested, we keep praying. We keep loving. But we don't have to say, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please. No, God's got to move in their heart to bring them to faith. But as we step out in our calling, there's going to be times we don't do everything perfectly right. We're going to make mistakes. It's important that we learn from our mistakes. Maybe we need more training. Maybe we need more experience. Maybe we need to spend more time with Jesus. But we can't stop walking in what God has called us to do. And as we do that, others are going to be encouraged because they see you walking in your calling. They're going to say, if Tom Halfacre can walk in his calling, then I can too, right? Because Tom's a simple man, and yet he's walking in his calling as he serves you every day. And he does. And so does Dale and Tracy and Jake and Mark Bruns, every one of us, as we walk in our calling, it's like, wow, look at Dale go. God, I want to be used. The goal of our church, really, is to have a bunch of people who are not afraid to try. Who are not afraid to try. Not afraid to fail. Yeah, maybe we need to spend time getting better equipped. That's trying too. And maybe the first step could be getting involved here. I mean, Jenny came up, talked about children's stuff. There's a lot of opportunities here. I know with COVID, it's a little funky. But maybe that's a place where you can start in growing in your service to the Lord. Or maybe you can submit to someone else and learn and grow from that person. There's a lot of ways. So what I'm trying to say is, let's step into our callings. If you don't know what your calling is, two things. Pray like you've not prayed. And two, ask somebody who knows you well. There was a lady that I've known. She's since passed away. She had a wonderful gift of encouragement, just a wonderful calling. And one day we were around or whatever, and she was so disappointed because she said, "I don't have a clue how God's wanting to use me." I knew, we knew, she didn't know. We're the ones that were able to say, "Listen, we know exactly what your calling is, and you're doing it every time. Every day we're in church, we see you just going around loving on people. That's your calling." So if you're not sure, pray. God will give you wisdom related to it. Pray, pray, pray. But ask one of us. We'll help you too. We will. Okay, here, let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thanks for the time we can spend and just growing and learning and allowing your Holy Spirit to speak. Lord, I pray you plant this deep inside of our hearts. Lord, it's so amazing to know that we're not only called to be your kids, we're called into your service. And Lord, as we read today and we read a lot of places in scriptures, Lord, we know that our calling will be coupled with the supernatural enabling. I pray each one of us would grab a hold of that and believe it with all our heart. That as you call us, whatever the area of service is, that you will always give us what we need to fulfill it, to bring glory to you. Thank you that we're ordinary people, Lord. That's not a bad thing. Because we acknowledge that when things do happen, it's because you have just and are an extraordinary God who just reached in and used us. What a crazy thing. What a great thing. Use us this week, Lord. Help us have our eyes open to opportunities to bless others. And when we get a chance to open our mouth, that they would know whatever we say and whatever we do is in the name of Jesus, Lord. Thanks for loving us like you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.